When you know that you are queer, but your favorite drink is beer, that's gayish. You can bottom without stopping, but you can't stand going shopping, that's gayish. Oh, gayish, you're probably gayish. Well, life's just too short for narrow stereotypes, so it's gayish. We're also gayish. It's gayish with Mike and Kyle.
Hello, everyone in the podcast universe. This is Gayish,
the podcast that will eat you out of house and hole.
Oh, yep. No.
Oh, that's the noise I wanted in reaction, actually. Thank you,
great.
Mike.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz.
And we're here to bridge the gap between sexuality and actuality. And today, we're back in the studio.
We're back. You're back in America.
I'm back in the right continent.
And we're going to talk about comping.
We're going to talk about camping.
But first. I have a lot of things.
Okay, we're going to do the news. For those of you who are skippers, I think the news is going to start at like 20 or 30 minutes into this episode.
Yeah,
there's a fuck ton of shit to talk about.
I don't know if people know this. In the episode description, I put timestamps for when we talk about news, when we talk about the actual topic, and when we talk about gayest and straightest. So if you want to skip, there's that info there.
Well, don't tell them then.
No, they should know. We want people, if people don't give a shit about news, I want them to know how to skip forward so they keep listening.
Yep. Yep.
All I care about is that you download it and anything you do within that time. No, I also want you to finish.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike.
Do you really care if they finish?
Yes, because that makes our stats look better.
All over your face?
That didn't fit in with the metaphor.
Okay, great.
All over their ears? Okay.
Also, just because it's going to happen, this is the Seafair Festival in Seattle, which means that the goddamn fucking Blue Angels are flying over my house and into my butt. At least that's how it feels from the vibration and noise standpoint.
This isn't the news section, Mike.
If you hear fighter jets... kids, this because they happened and we're not going to edit around that.
Oh, we'll
I mean
see.
We can, but
now if I edit them all out and it never happens, it's going to be just a weird thing you said at the beginning.
You can edit that out too.
Oh, that's true.
All right, back to the shit. Feedback and corrections and all that.
Yes. One still technical thing to note, we had people write in that there were issues with the episodes where they were truncating after 15 to 20 minutes and or there were episodes that sounded very garbled and odd. Supposedly, thank you for the people that let me know about that. There were enough people that it was like a thing. So that should have been fixed according to our podcast hosting provider.
Mm-hmm.
If you hear that again going forward, re-download or whatever the episode, make sure it's a fresh feed. And if it still happens, let us know because we're thinking it shouldn't be. And thanks. Yeah, if shit like that happens, feel free to let us know. And that's useful then if a bunch of people say something's going on, it's helpful because I don't always know.
Yep.
Next, pegging.
Yeah.
Feedback.
Yeah.
This is a really good comment that we got on Twitter. So someone said that, I'll just read it. Just heard the pegging episode and I've got to disagree. If I, as a non-cis person without a natal dick, bang someone in the ass with a strap on, that is just fucking. Pegging calls out the fact that it's a fake, when I'd much rather be using my own but can't. So if it's a trans mask doing the topping, at the very least, ask what he wants you to call the act. So that's a good, we talked about, like any gender can do it, but that's a good particular note that is really important to think about, you know, if especially like, you know, trans man or trans mass person is doing the topping.
Yeah. I mean, from now on, whenever I top, I'm going to call it pegging.
Even if it is with your natal dick?
Even if it is with my natal dick.
Also, they said Kyle is the Ernie and Mike is the Bert.
Okay, no. I disagree. Yep, I'm being Bert right now. Okay, never mind. You're right.
What, do you want to look up in a book why that's wrong?
Yep.
Thank you for that.
Well, and then we also got the comment on Patreon from a trans person. I waited to see if you mentioned this, but non-penis owners tend to put on strap-ons too high. If you put it on and it's pointing straight in front of you, you've probably got it on too high. Like you guys said, it should have contact with your clit, which means that it will be lower and will be pointing at the floor. Too high, it'll look like a cartoon. Lower it and it'll actually look natural, like it belongs where you put it. Hopefully you've seen a penis or two before you attempt pegging, if only to compare. The first time I wore a strap-on, it would bibbity-bob when I laughed, which would make it bibbity-bob worse, which would make me laugh harder. Takeaway, your first pegging experience may not get past you laughing your ass off. But for this trans person, pegging is an appropriate word, which is why I liked the end of that comment, which is just like, ask.
Yeah.
Ask what is the right nomenclature.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, laughing while putting on a strap on and calling it bibbidi bobbidi booze is my favorite mental image. Okay, next. I mentioned on an episode, oh, maybe it was Pegging, that that the percentage of straight men that have received anal sex, and then you correctly mentioned that the number I had could have been they gave it instead of taking it. So I found numbers. The Future Method has a website with an article by Dr. Evan Goldstein, and they did research of 880 people in the U.S. with active sex lives. So just keep in mind, it's just people with active sex lives, what they have done. And for
I wonder if anybody got rejected for not being active enough.
Yeah. It's like the monkeypox vaccine all over again. For straight men, 10% of them have received for pegging.
Okay.
And other just butt stuff about straight dudes, because while we're here, why not?
Yeah.
Percentage of straight men who have used anal toys and fingers from someone else doing it is 43%. Hmm. They have used anal toys or fingers on themselves is 40%. So, like, there's a very... I thought, if you did it yourself, that'd be a way bigger number than a small... But, like, if you do it yourself, it's like... Maybe it just means, like, you're interested, so you're gonna...
Yeah.
It's very... The next step is ask someone else to do it, maybe.
Yeah.
And received analingus is 32%.
That seems so high to me, but okay.
Oh, that seems... I mean, comparatively, that seems low to me. I would think... Like, licking my butt is the easiest of all the options, and the like feels like it might feel the least gay out of all the options. But I don't know. That's the numbers. Lastly,
yeah,
I was on an episode of Disability After Dark.
Yeah,
so Andrew Kerr is a friend of the show. He's been on multiple times. We've been on his show, episode 304. It's called I'm Depressed, I'm Not a Bad Person, and I'm there.
Go listen, everybody.
Yeah. your non-visual gestures were unhelpful.
I was gonna make a joke about you being actually a bad person.
But it's not because I'm depressed,
right?
Or is I don't know.
Great.
Do you have anything else?
And just an update. Okay, we need to. I don't know. Do I do updates to the news at the beginning of the news?
I could not care less.
Okay, great. Great. One update. Brittany Griner, which we've done that news story a couple of times, the WNBA star, was convicted by a Russian court and has been sentenced to 9 years in prison.
One article I saw said sentenced to 9 years and sentenced with a maximum of 9 years.
No, the maximum was 10 years, and the judge was lenient and gave her 9.
Oh, fuck.
So, yeah. Anyway, that happened.
But hopefully we'll prisoner swap.
Yeah. That sounds hot for some reason.
It sounds like... what's the website? Sunswap.com? I don't know.
Familydick.com?
So I don't know. This is highly inappropriate for this new story.
All right. So now the news?
Yeah.
Shut your mouth hole. It's time for your ear holes. News. 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 I just decided we'll do updates to the news stories after the news theme, but starting in the future. I don't want to make your editing.
You should do like read the news stories, and then if there are any updates to news, do that at the end.
Mind blown, Kyle. Great.
Here's the new news stories, and any updates would be again just whatever.
I appreciate you.
And you appreciate me more because last time I said I was in control of where I put it, and I put it in the place you thought it should be. The news theme song, that is.
Speaking
making
of
pegging. Making myself wrong and you correct through my editing process. So don't say I never give to you.
Sure. Sure. Thank you for that gift, Kyle. news the first. Hungarian.
Second.
Sure. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban is now speaking or has been speaking at the Conservative Political Action Conference. Are you familiar with CPAC?
I've just seen it come up in the news, and it's been like, hey, let's be terrible and homophobic together.
It is the worst. It's like, it is like a train wreck. You can't look away, even though you probably should, because you're going to be scarred for life if you actually see something happen that's bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, he is the Prime Minister of Hungary and is a fuck-faced dickbag asshole, so of course CPAC loves him, and they're like, come speak. But, He spoke about, like, quote, an institution of marriage as a union of one man and one woman, To sum it up, the mother is a woman, the father is a man, and leave our kids alone. To wild applause. Mm-hmm. But talking about gender ideology and grooming and like just so terrible. But I really, this made me laugh. He said, quote, children must be protected from gender ideology and sexual orientation programs in schools without parental consent. We decided we don't need more genders. We need less drag queens and more Chuck Norris.
Whoa. Okay. I've never heard it said that way.
Right. But yeah. I don't know. What is with people's obsession with Chuck Norris? Like all the Chuck Norris memes about like how badass he is.
We did that for a while, and then I haven't heard Chuck Norris be the central meme of a thing in quite a while.
Yeah, Hungary's way behind, right? Mm. They're still watching like The Matrix for the first time.
Internet gets there like 10 years later. So yeah.
And their hairstyles and jeans, apparently as well. But yeah, just we need less drag queens and more Chuck Norris. It's just, that sums up the right in a really good way.
I think it's going to be interesting when the right doesn't understand what they're doing and eventually abolishes all gender. They keep saying like, we need less gender, and pretty soon you're not going to be able to talk about any gender. And so they're going to accidentally build this world where there's no gender and like will secretly win through their own just ignorance. You know, people are like, no pronouns, when they don't even know what the fuck a pronoun is.
Yeah.
They just know that they hear us talking about it a bunch.
Yeah.
They will accidentally abolish gender themselves.
Yeah. Define socialism. Can't. Yeah. But yeah. Or the whole thing about like they're so far right they're left again or whatever. Like,
yeah.
It's just a big circle.
Politics is a round circle, a flat circle. I don't know.
Yep. Yeah. Anyway, fuck that guy. Fuck CPAC. Fuck anybody who went there. But don't actually, because evil people don't deserve sex.
Unless you record it and post it on the internet to out-closeted shitty people.
News the second. So Angelica Ross of Pose fame is making her Broadway debut as the first trans lead in the revival of the musical Chicago. She will be playing Roxy Hart in an 8-week limited engagement. The first show will take place at Ambassador Theater in New York City on September 12th.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I fucking love seeing all the post stars and like what they're doing now, and like some are going to Broadway and you know a lot of music coming from them, and just like that was such an amazing show. I want the cast to like keep doing awesome things.
I didn't watch Pose because I'm a bad gay, but apparently she played Candy Ferocity in Pose, if that helps you dial in who she is. And she was also Nurse Rita in American Horror Story. So the last person to play Roxy Hart was Pamela Anderson, which now I want to know more about that.
Did she sing with her mouth?
Apparently Pamela
Can
Anderson.
Can she sing with her mouth?
Performed as the same character in her own limited run earlier this year.
Hmm.
Anthony Allen Ramos, who's the VP of Communications and Talent at GLAAD, said, quote, Chicago's Roxy Hart is one of the most recognizable, iconic, and beloved characters in the history of Broadway, and a true talent like Angelica Ross will delight audiences with her impressive acting, singing, and performance skills. She's gorgeous. News the last.
What? Your face was upset.
I know. I'm so sorry.
Or you don't want to do this or something.
Beyonce's seventh album, Renaissance, has been released. It was released last Friday on the 29th of July.
You are so annoyed that you're like actively annoyed at yourself right now.
Yep. Yep. And she dedicated it to, quote, the most fabulous gay man I've ever known. Kyle.
Gets. Sorry, no, someone who like died in her relative. I shouldn't. Okay.
Her uncle.
Yeah.
Her uncle Johnny. So we keep going around and around about like what makes a gay icon and like especially if they don't actually do anything for the gay community. And I just feel like, okay, sure, she had a gay uncle and he's dead and now she's dedicating this album to him, and like does that count as advocacy? I don't really think so, but like of course the gays fucking love her and everything that she does, which she is magical and wonderful and I appreciate all of that, but also like should this be gay news?
I did read news stories talking about there are, you know, many queer people and trans people that worked on this album, so that's a cool kind of thing that I didn't read any more of or know more about, but like I know Big Frida is there.
Yeah.
Other names,
although that was a sample.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but like, hey, well, I don't know if you, I'd include us all over the place.
Yeah. Sample us.
Sample
you won't break pass hole.
I also keep thinking back to Sarah of Sarah Talk, Miss Talk.
Miss Talk. If you're nasty.
If you're nasty, said that the question of is it an atheist issue? This is back in our atheism episode. Is it an atheist issue? It is if it is an issue to atheists. And that stood out to me of like, it doesn't have to be necessarily about God or religion to like, but what matters to atheist people? And if it is, then so I don't know. Yeah, I think there.
Well, Derek wanted me to talk about Taylor Swift's Airplane and maybe I should have.
Oh, yeah. Well, her dumb defense is like, well, I wasn't even on it. It's like, honey, it's your fucking plane. I don't care. Like the contents of the plane is less important than what it's spewing out. So like fucking stop lending it to people. Then I don't know what you. Yeah.
Great. Fuck her. Fuck her in general.
Sure.
Yeah. I hate her so much. Everyone be mad about that because I like hate mail, except I don't actually care.
Yeah. I love males.
Yeah. Beyonce said in an emotional speech.
Oh, we're still... Okay, sure. Let's keep going.
Quote, he lived his truth. He was brave and unapologetic during a time when this country wasn't as accepting, and witnessing his battle with HIV was one of the most painful experiences I've ever lived. I'm hopeful that his struggle helped to open pathways for other young people to live more freely. LGBTQIA rights are human rights. Thanks, Beyonce.
Thanks, girl. What I really enjoyed in our latest Patreon happy hour, thanks to everyone who joined, that was a question that you did, like, going around to talk about what you think, and most people were like, I haven't heard it, which I thought was very fit. It's like a great, like, representation of there are plenty of people who don't give a shit about Beyonce, and that's fine, because there's so many other people that would be like, you're not gay then, or what, you know, whatever, make them feel like shit, and yeah.
Yep.
So that's a perfect example of things we do on this show and why we talk about it.
That's the news.
I would like to thank the following people that are what we do and why we talk about them, and that's Patreon people.
Great.
There are new Patreon members whose names I will say forthwith.
Great.
Florian, you had to do this to me. You knew when you included your own last name that that would then result in me trying to say it.
Also, I know that bitch.
I know that bitch, too.
Yeah.
Florian Joklitsky. It's like German, so there's like 10 consonants in a row that I don't know how to say all of them in a row.
I think a J in German always makes a ya, if you would like to try that again.
Well, ya are not getting me to say it again, so there you go. And also, thank you to New York Nick.
Nick the Dick?
He'll come in a New York minute. Okay, go to Patreon.
Big Dick Nick?
You can keep saying names of Nicks in your personal life, but that's not going to be interesting to anyone else.
Okay.
That does mean. I don't know why. Okay.
It's fine.
Okay. Sorry. Okay.
Patreon, nothing you say matters.
I know. That's true. Okay. That was mean back. Now we're even. Okay. Patreon.com/gayishpodcast. If you want to bonus episodes, content, ad free episodes, us to say about and then yell at each other during your name.
Mm hmm. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Mike.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a lot of energy to do things like record an ad.
Boy, it sure does.
You have to think of a topic. You have to think of something witty to say.
Yeah.
It can be kind of draining sometimes.
Absolutely. And I like being drained, but not in this way.
Life can be draining with more social commitments after the winter. People expect that you're going to hang out, spend more time together, and that can be draining.
Especially in Seattle when the sun starts coming out and that's when all the people in the world come back asking for your time.
Yep.
I need better boundaries, I think.
Yeah. So therapy helps me process what my social life should look like and how I deal with my social battery, how I invest my time and my effort.
Yeah, me too. And it helps me get those boundaries that I was talking about, or at least remember to try to keep them.
Yep. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/gayish today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/gayish.
BetterHelp.com/gayish. Do it.
Do it.
Mike, when we started our podcast, there were no other gay podcasts.
Zero.
Zero.
None whatsoever.
We were the very first.
We blazed our own trail. Our own treasure trail. We shaved it.
Just like Harry's blazed their own trail because there were no other razors before they existed.
Right. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by questionable products in the shaving industry, decided to do something better.
I use Harry's and it gives me a smooth, fresh looking face when I shave around my beard. And I really like their products.
Yeah, I do too. The razors are really, really good. But also, I enjoy the body wash. I think it smells super awesome. I use the fig flavor pretty regularly.
Well, if you want to get in on the action, don't settle for the status quo. Blaze your own trail with Harry's. Get started with a $13 set for just $3 at harrys.com/gayish.
Yeah, it's a 5-blade razor with a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/gayish.
That's harrys.com/gayish for a $3 trial set.
Yeah, get it.
Do you remember what it was like when PrEP came out?
I sure do. Yes, it was a big deal because everybody was like, now we don't have to worry about HIV/AIDS anymore, which is pretty huge for the community.
Yeah. Well, imagine that, but for STIs. Imagine a world where STIs are a thing of the past.
Everyone's been talking about DoxyPep, and that's because it's 90% effective at curbing STIs like chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. You don't want any of those. DoxyPep can make them not happen to you.
And DoxyPep from Shameless Care is one of the places you can get a hold of it. They are a top telemedicine provider with board-certified physicians across all 50 states with one mission, making DoxyPep accessible and affordable.
The process is hassle-free. Answer some medical questions on their HIPAA-compliant online platform, and one of their physicians will prescribe DoxyPep to you. Viola! It's shipped straight to your door in discreet packaging.
It is affordable, just $109 a year, and that covers your online evaluation, the medication, and the shipping.
So ready to rewrite your story? Ready to rediscover the joy of carefree intimacy? Visit shamelesscare.com/gayish and take control of your sexual health.
That's shamelesscare.com/gayish. Your liberation is waiting.
Your liberation.
Camping?
You want to talk about camping?
Camping. Okay.
Yeah.
Usually.
Somebody suggested this one.
No. Mike.
What?
Oh, the thing I was going to say when I talk about gay campgrounds is Bob on Spaces requested us that we talk about gay campgrounds, but we're not doing that yet.
Okay, great.
I even put a note while we were before. You just like spoiled the fun.
Okay.
Not actually. I don't know why. Okay. Usually you. Thanks, Bob. We'll get to you. Just hold on for 1 second.
Can we call him Bibbidi Bob?
Sure. Usually when we start out, if it's relevant, we do the history of something.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. What are you planning on talking about?
Can we talk about the history of camping? Yeah.
There was actually, I was curious about when camping became camping because at one point it was just you were just living.
Yep.
And then I'm guessing the next phase of camping is then like, well, my dad goes outside sometimes too, so it doesn't need a separate name. It's like some people live inside and some people are outside, and that, so it had to be far enough away from the living outside that then we called it a specific thing.
Yeah. So
did I just do the history of comping myself?
Basically, you did. Okay. You did almost the whole thing. Yeah. So I mean, the issue here is there is no like universally held definition of what is camping and what isn't. There are like some elements that it's like porn. You know it when you see it or whatever. But There's a combination of intent and what you're doing that seems to be part of what has to be in play for it to be camping. For instance, living in a tent, that's not camping. People experiencing homelessness do that all the time. It's the I'm choosing to go live in a tent for a short period of time that makes it camping. Like, go ahead. You can respond to that.
No, I'm not responding to that. I'm just responding to the general premise of talking about what the definition of comping is. Because, yes, there are all these things, but is that interesting at all to anyone, is defining this word?
I think it's interesting.
Okay.
But, you know, whatever.
You make up roughly half of the hosts of the show, so yeah. I guess.
Half-ish. we call, like, a summer camp camping. Like, we send kids off to conversion therapy or other kinds of camp. And that's really just, like, get the fuck out of my house while you're on summer vacation, Timmy.
Yeah.
And but is that really camping? Is there, like, inside in, like, bunk beds? And then... there's also like being in an RV that gets called camping when like that's just a smaller house that has wheels. It's like it's not really but I guess it's camping because you go to a campground. It's just my point is that, like, it is kind of ambiguous. Okay. You don't think so?
No. I agree that there is no hard and fast definition. I also just think that, but we all know that, and we know what we think camping is, and so it just, yeah.
We should always break it down and not assume.
I don't think that's true, but that's okay. That's okay.
All right. Well, so the British claim that they invented camping, and the history of recreational camping goes back to a dude named Thomas Hiram Holding. And he was a tailor, so not gay. that's sort of not true. Like, camping was happening by the 1880s on the River Thames, because apparently the Victorians loved to, like, go boating, and somehow that's connected to the camping. Anyway. But this dude, Thomas Holding, he wrote the first edition of the Camper's Handbook in 1908, and he founded the Association of Cycle Campers, now called the Camping and Caravanning Club, which is still around. Oh. So he and his family had gone to the United States, and they rode in a wagon train, and they did some stuff that's sort of like modern camping, like every night when they'd set up a camp on this wagon train. Yeah, he basically, like, invented a small, lightweight tent that could be strapped to a bicycle, and went on a 3-day camping tour in the southwest of Ireland with his son Frank and two friends, and then he wrote this book and basically gets credit for inventing camping, at least the modern incarnation of it, which is, I'm choosing to go enjoy the outdoors with equipment of some kind in a not permanent way away from people. In society. The first commercial campground in the world was Cunningham's Camp near the Isle of Man. It opened in 1894. And in 1906, Thomas Holding's group, the Association of Cycle Campers, they opened their first camping site in Weybridge in 1906. Did I already say 1906? Anyway. And then in the United States, William Henry Harrison Murray wrote a book called Camp Life in the Adirondacks in 1869, and apparently a whole bunch of people then, like, showed up to the Adirondacks that summer because the book was so approachable that, like, this is how, like, memes worked back in the day. They were books.
yeah.
But, yeah, camping, the modern concept of camping, like, the way that we think about it is about 130 years old, give or take. I guess that's all I have.
Was there, in your research, did you, I see it as a straight stereotype. Did you come across anything gay or straight about it?
About camping? Yeah, but we're going to talk about that, I think, in a little, a future segment on this here show. Because camping, yeah, I agree, is like a straight stereotype, because it has all these overtones of, like, family and that, you know, white picket fence, you and your 2.5 kids take the dog out to the woods or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's also a whole bunch of homoeroticism about it that's happened for a long time, and I'm going to talk about that later. Okay. So, but you said you have Gaeta?
I'm going to tell you some Gaeta. This is based on the 2021 article on LGBTQNation.com by Juwan J. Holmes. And this article talks about a study, the 2021 North American Camping Report.
I don't know.
Because we need that.
Yeah.
sponsored by KOA, so they're like a campground
of America.
So just keep in mind their biases towards wanting people to camp.
Promoting camping and spelling camping correctly. Ooh.
I thought that was the fan turning on for some reason. I did. Wow. Although it is the North American Camping Report, it just includes U.S. and Canada from what I can tell, which is that's not what North America is. But
do Mexicans not camp?
No, we don't see them. We don't know.
Okay.
No, we haven't studied it, so no one would know.
Great.
We have no idea. Camping is considered, especially by the person interviewed during this, the president of the KOA, camping has been considered predominantly Caucasian people, baby boomers, and that is what you're squinting.
Just, yeah, okay. Thinking, is that true? Is that true? Is it a white people thing?
I think it has been, yeah.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
White people, let us know in the comments. In 2021, especially during COVID, saw a big increase in the number of people that were camping. During that year, 48 million people camped. Ooh. At least once, and that was 6 million more than the previous year.
In the U.S. or the
in the north in the North,
North
America,
America. the non-Mexican North America.
Yes.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. The racist view of what North America is.
Yeah. This seems like a lot. This just seems like a lot. 48 million people. That's crazy. Okay.
And to add 6 million people. I mean, it makes sense because no one could do jack shit else. So.
Yeah. Well, remember when it was like, oh, the outside. I can't get COVID outside. Mm-hmm. Let's do everything outside.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which you all went camping, but I did not because I was still nervous about it. So
yeah,
during COVID. Also, again, all this is during 2020. 60% of first-time campers were non-white, so it does appear to be growing in its diversity. 12%.
Everyone can poop in a hole, regardless of skin tone.
Yeah, good news. And of all of the same-sex households, 12% of them went camping.
Okay.
So that's how much we like it or how much we care about it.
That seems low, but maybe that's because we're in Seattle and I think that there are more outdoorsy, campy gays here.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay.
That has continued an upward trend since 2015, at least. In 2015, it was 6%. So it is a growing number of LGBTQ people that are going camping. Mm-hmm. 61% of children in same-sex households went camping. And
61%.
Yeah.
So that suggests that like gays that have kids go camping more than the ones that don't.
It might be gay. Well, 54% of children in other households went. So it seems to be more. Yeah. Like more likely than the average family that you like LGBT people would bring their kids along with them. Not a whole bunch, but at least a little bit. So, yeah, it would make sense if that's a more family friendly thing to do when you're LGBT. Cause you know, a lot of our events are not. So,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And 35% of LGBTQ campers were glamping.
Oh yeah.
Which overall it was actually 36%. So it's I would expect that we would all glamp and not camp because of our, you know, this is my stereotypes about myself and other gays that we're all like prissy and don't want to like poop anywhere but a
yeah.
pre-made what makes factory
it, what,
made hole.
What makes it glamping to you?
Amenities.
Amenities.
Yeah.
Such as? Like how many do you have to have to call it glamp?
Three and a half.
Great. Okay.
No, I don't know. Probably have like toilets and running water. You probably have at least a yurt or something that is more like physical structure that you're staying in, maybe like pre-existing bed or something that's beyond a you know, just your sleeping bag. I don't know, maybe like twinkle lights.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I think of electricity for some reason as being a requirement of glamping, but I maybe not.
I think that's one of the possible available amenities, but I would say like going to a yurt where there are like beds already there. Oh, I guess there was electricity when I went. I did that once with the now ex that for our anniversary, and there was electricity there. Yeah, maybe that might be a more prevalent in camping.
Like you got to be able to run a blender, I think, so that you can make margaritas.
I was gonna say you're like protein shake or whatever buff gay dudes do. I was surprised to see that it was in line with non-gays.
Yeah.
So good for us. We're just as hearty.
Yeah. Yeah.
We would equally make a good cannibalism stew. Because we're equally as hardy.
Great. Okay.
I'm just saying I'm not saying do it. I'm just saying if you were to make a stew out of a human, you wouldn't taste too much of a difference between gays and straights.
Okay. Hey. Equally seasoned.
Seasoning, I don't know. You don't know. I'm not saying seasoned. I'm just saying the hardiness of the meat.
Okay. Oh, my God.
You go now.
Have you okay? Well, so have you? When's the last time you went camping?
The last time I went camping is I don't know. When's the last time we went with our D&D group? Because that would have been the last time.
Yeah,
before the pandemic. Three years ago, maybe?
We've gotten bougier over time, and that might be like a function of like having jobs.
Yeah.
But like we used to go like dirt camping together, and now we are like in the fanciest of Airbnbs, like near camping or near the water.
We want all the process to be the same, except do you arrive at a pile of dirt or do you arrive at a home? Like that's the biggest. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
When's the last time you went camping?
Gosh, I think with the D&D group, when you didn't go during the pandemic, that was like full on camping, like set up your tent.
Yeah.
Do the thing.
Yeah.
Poop in a hole. No, we had an outhouse actually, but.
Well, what is an outhouse but a hole with stuff built around it?
True. Mm-hmm. That's deep.
Yeah, just like your poop.
Well, okay. So I wanted to talk to you about, like, why is camping gay?
Mm.
Or how is camping gay? Mm-hmm. Or, like, what? So,
I mean, we just talked about how the stereotype is that it isn't gay.
Yeah.
And I think that's because of what, like, the glamping aspect that we were talking about is, like, gays are assumed to be, like, prissier and to need their amenities to, like, women, like, worry about their fingernails and need all their clothes and, you know, they're all of the... all the things you can't do when you're comping.
Yep. So do you, okay, first, do you think of camping, like, just dudes camping as being homoerotic? Or is it just anytime there are dudes doing anything, it's homoerotic? Or do you not have that association at all?
I didn't think about it until you said it, but what do I want it to be? Right. Or what is it really? No, I think just like we say, like, straight dudes are super gay. Anytime you get a bunch of dudes around, and especially like go in like the locker room, or like go in places that are like just them hanging out, I think it gets a little gay. So I guess now that I think about it, it's one of those times that, like, they'll probably get a little gay.
There's a bunch of stuff that I'm not quite sure how to connect all of the dots, but about, like, camping is fundamentally homoerotic. Mm. And there's this whole theory I was reading in Out Front magazine in an article titled "The History of Homoerotic Cowboy Imagery," but discussing how camping has sort of inherited a bunch of homoerotic overtones from a whole bunch of cultural and historical things. So,
whoa.
Like,
has comping been gay since the start of comping?
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently. Hmm. Well, so social historians. Quote, according to GLBTQ Archive, social historians believe that male-on-male relationships were pretty common in work communities. So you had people that were working on the railroad, you had cowboys, you had other, like, hard labor type jobs that involved just the men together because it was male work, but they would stay together in a camp, and that anytime historically that you have that happen, there's always at least rumors, if not actual behavior, of, like, they're fucking each other.
Yeah.
Right.
Just got really nervous that the reason we consider events where it's only men hang out together is because we consider men having emotional attachments and relationships with other men inherently gay, because men aren't supposed to have any kind of emotions. And then I just was like, oh shit, am I contributing by saying straight men are so gay, by saying that they have, like, any kind of relationship with another dude that's gay, that I'm, like, contributing to men shouldn't have, like, attachments or be any kind of emotional. Ew.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Or is it just fun?
This article says it explains the allure of the strapping pair of male sailors, or the reason that bear culture fetishizes the lumberjack look. Quote, while there isn't direct evidence of sexual behavior, photographs and memoirs do tell us that men in these communities slept together at night, groomed each other, ate together, bathed together. They even held stag dances where men took other men as their dates.
I don't like the word groomed each other. You mean physically combed each other's hair or what have you.
And or shaved each other because there weren't mirrors.
Like, and or convinced them since a young age to become gay.
Right, exactly. Yeah, for sure. So cowboys in Westerns are often depicted as loners and heroes, too cool and aloof to settle down with a woman. But also when there are other people around in a cowboy's depiction, it's usually other cowboys, and they camp together, and there's a weird homoeroticism that's sort of inherited from these other things there. Mm. The best example of which is Brokeback Mountain, right? Like, they fuck while they're camping, and that works as a meme because we're already sort of primed to view dudes camping together as being this, they're away from the lady folk, they're where they can't get caught, penises feel good.
They're dressed all sexy and tight jeans and stuff.
So they do stuff. And
they're riding bareback.
I mean, we've said this before, but, like, that's the most unbelievable part of that movie, that, like, Heath Ledger could just, like, a little bit of spit and fuck a virgin, like, no problem the first time. It's like, that's not how that works at all.
Maybe he's, like, one of those old timey peggers. Maybe he, Jake Gyllenhaal had been sitting on the bedpost for a while.
Am I into that?
What was that? Did you just come a little bit?
God help us, Kyle.
Did you just mini orgasm?
Yeah, maybe so.
Okay.
I just Jake Gyllenhaal sitting on a peg to be ready for Heath Ledger.
Yeah,
that's not hot.
Okay.
Anyway, so then you also there's a cart and horse problem here, but the Boy Scouts of America and then the Girl Scouts by extension have this sort of homoeroticism built into it as well, right? Hmm. And like you take a bunch of boys who are horny and hormonal and going through puberty and blah blah blah, and you send them out into the woods with a probably gay pack leader, and you know, you've got, there's a really problematic constellation of stuff happening of like, you take dudes away from society and gay stuff is going to happen. That's a message that we've already received. Then you add this like awkward, exploratory, sexually confusing time of life. You add the problematic but still very prevalent idea that gay men are pedophiles, and you have these troop leaders that are what?
They were very homophobic. I'm surprised you mentioned Boy Scouts as homoerotic, because they're very explicitly homophobic by banning gay people. So are they more? I do not assume that it is a gay troop leader. I assume that they intentionally banned gay troop leaders.
Right. Yeah. But I also think that there's like the psychological phenomenon of like the biggest homophobes are actually latent homosexuals, like that happening on an organizational level, maybe. But yeah, there are a lot of sources of homoerotic symbolism when it comes to camping, and we have a lot of institutions like Boy Scouts, like Cowboys, etc., where dudes camp together, and there's the presumption of maybe some homoerotic stuff.
I just never would have thought to put Boy Scouts in that that area. Yeah.
Well, I'm reminded of the Canteen Boy sketch, which was on Saturday Night Live, which was actually really controversial. Alec Baldwin had a sketch where he was the Boy Scout troop leader, and Adam Sandler was the Canteen Boy, and like it is full on like Alec Baldwin like has his big old hairy chest out, and it like is trying to snuggle up to Adam Sandler, and all of that was funny slash not funny at the time, and it's because of all of this stuff that I'm touching on.
Yeah, I don't touch on it. I wonder maybe the backlash more than I knew, and making it super homophobic was in response to it, like maybe sketches like this or the vibe that it had, what maybe some kind of like homoerotic vibes. The more that like you hear that in popular culture, people believe it or what have you, maybe that causes the homophobic rules because they want to make sure no one thinks of them as gay at all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also interesting to me that we don't have the same, and we can guess, but we don't have the same homoerotic overtones to similar things that women do. Like convents have a bunch of like lesbians and rumored lesbians. So end of list. Softball teams. Like we've talked about this over and over again in different ways. For whatever reason, female homosexual behavior is less threatening to Western culture, and so we don't have the same sort of fears and backlashes to what they do.
For whatever reason, it's because the patriarchy is more okay with female sexuality because they think it's about them, and they think two women kissing is hot and two dudes kissing is gross, and like because they are the ones in charge, that structure then falls down to, you know, beliefs. That's my quick summary. I think there's something interesting about, I think you're right that men hanging out with young children is presumed that they're pedophiles, and pedophiles, people presume that gay men are pedophiles. So I could see that, like the steps of those, that logic. So, and I mean, we were just talking about, you know, I mentioned any kind of like straight men having any kind of emotional relationship or attachment to anyone, you know, goes, it's even worse for any man that has any kind of relationship with a child, or you see a man with a child, you make these assumptions. And, you know, there's this shitty mixture of like men are more likely to murder, attack, assault people. Sure. So there's like partly that, but then the, you know, I don't know, just a male camp leader being assumed like asking why would you want to hang out with kids is like men just like women want to help kids and maybe have kids and want to share their, I don't know, like it sucks that anytime we are around a child,
yeah.
I like feel very uncomfortable being around children, partially because I don't want people to like make, especially if I look more outwardly gay or if I'm dressed in certain ways, I'm like, I don't want to get around your kid because I don't want anyone to even like say or think anything about me.
Yep. Well, and then I agree. I absolutely agree. I have the same anxiety. And then I also will sometimes then get mad about that and just go like over the top. Like I'm hanging out with your child now, like, being really kind of aggressive about it, which that's performative and not great either. But like, cause there's this little voice in the back of my head that's like, just be the best gay example you can.
Yeah.
And like, maybe you can chip away at that stereotype by just being an awesome example of that not happening, which that's just so dumb.
Yeah. Hey, look, everyone, not pedophiling. Right, isn't that cool? Yeah, right. How cool is that? Totally gay, not a pedophile. Woo, look at me.
Yep, indeed. Indeed. The last thing that I'll say about all of this, I think, is the idea of compartmentalization. Brokeback Mountain touches on this quite a bit also, but the fact that two dudes or a small number of dudes going elsewhere, there's a compartmentalizing that happens. They're away from society. It is term limited. It's just a one-off thing. So it's like they sort of create a closet that they can be in together for that small period of time. Am I making sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that there's something happening there psychologically or sociologically that it's compartmentalized and therefore safer, big old quotes around safer, to experiment or not necessarily conform to all of societal expectations. And there's a vibe there.
Yeah. I'm not gay. It's just sometimes when I'm in the woods, I touch dick, you know, it's not about me. It's like, oh, the location, there's something about it, or that's help. I don't know. Yeah.
And what happens camping can stay camping, and like, you're not going to get caught or nobody's going to see, or everybody that sees was involved and therefore equally culpable. There's a psychological safety that's created by that framing.
Okay, I want to talk about that was a lot of like stereotypes and overtones about queer people camping. I want to talk about a more positive current example of why someone might camp and what the benefits are. So I was going to look up a bunch of queer people's like quotes and experiences with camping, but instead I just found this one article that I really liked. I'm going to talk about that. Okay. So this is a 2022, that's this year, Pop Sugar article. Ooh, hi, people are listening to the back catalog, and it's not 22 anymore. Good for you. this article is by Annalise Mans. I don't know why I get a hiccup in the middle of that. Okay. Why would a queer person go camping? Quote, as well as being someone in the LGBTQ plus community. Ah, shit. Who is this about? Who's saying this? Someone is saying this. I'm saying it. I am the vocal conduit for Kenji O'Donnell.
Okay.
Quote, as well as being someone in the LGBTQ plus community, I'm also mixed and also am neurodivergent. And that's a lot of intersectionalities that exist in my life on a day-to-day basis. And whenever I'm out in nature, whether I'm with my friends or I'm by myself, I don't have to wear all these different masks to blend in with the rest of society. And that part reminded me of talking about queer spaces, where when you go to queer spaces, you get to drop some of the everyday kind of guards you have up, or you don't have to worry as much about the microaggressions and all the shit that society brings to you. And that seemed to be a similarity in talking about why a queer person, some of the values that a queer person might find. And I definitely understand when you're standing around nature, like, nature is not homophobic and nature is not going to treat you differently, you know, a barrel each and no matter what. So like, that's cool of them.
Yeah. Wait, which kind of bear?
Yes. Ken O'Donnell also is part of the Venture Out project, which Venture Out is a backpacking. They do backpacking and wilderness trips for the queer and trans community. Apparently they are nationwide, but most of the events when I looked at their website were in Utah or Vermont. That's just the ones I saw, but it seemed like a pretty cool organization. So we have, you know, queer centric organizations that do a lot of comping events. They provide all the or most of the gear that people need. They are alcohol and substance free. I saw an event that was for plus size people. They do training, like corporate trainings, to help understand more about the trans, gender nonconforming communities. They do stuff with families and whatever. So cool thing that exists and that Kenja's involved in.
Venture Out with Venture Out.
Venture Out Project with Venture Out Project. Another thing that Kenja talked about in this article, or it was an interview, they said one of the things they have to think about or ask themselves that may prevent them from doing more of it is, what am I going to do with my hair? Which,
what?
As someone who is mixed, as a white person, don't often think about my hair as much as people of color, black people. So that's what Kenja was talking about, like, I don't see other people of color or black people, forget how they framed it, but that is a concern that I don't have and have to think about, and is one of those things that is both important to the black community or people of color, and would never think to address that or answer that or think about what you have to do with that.
Yeah.
So I think that's can be preventative if you don't see other people like you that are doing this thing. So no one knows, everyone will have, like, I as well thought, like, what do you mean? You just kind of let it be hair. Like,
right, yeah.
I would never think to try to address this to help more people go comping.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah.
I also think, like, there's a length of time issue there too, right? Mm. Like, I'm like pretty sure for like a weekend you'd be okay, I assume. Maybe, but not, but like
I don't know. Hmm. Other things, there were some hikes where we had some really difficult conversations about the, oh, this is a quote, I didn't say that, that wouldn't have been clear. Quote. What?
It's great, go ahead.
Quote.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning of quote, right? I can't say now because that's not the quote. Next word. There were some hikes where we had some really difficult conversations about the state of the world right now, especially for queer folks, especially for black and indigenous people of color who are also queer folks. And this, end of quote, mm-hmm. It has mm-hmm. ended.
Sure.
This reminded me, this is me talking now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, every time I say, I'm going to clarify whether I'm talking or a quote. Right now. There is something about comping with a group of people that even if they're new people, you like bond, you feel closer. There's something, I don't know whether it's fire makes you talk more, or there's something though, like sitting outside at night or being in a physically different location that you're used to, but there's something about it that I think, or like you're reflective because you're in nature, maybe that's it, but there's something that enables bonding, deeper conversations than just existing in regular life.
Especially fire, I think you're super right. Like there's something about, it's dark and this is the safe place and we're all like staring into the fire, collectively thinking about other things that should be on fire, but also also talking. And yeah. Like, yeah, there's a for sure a bonding thing that happens. Just, yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's a Venture Out project that makes sense then why that would be a good place to talk about difficult topics or, you know, have things that people generally like fight over to be able to be more reflective. That was Kenja. That was not me. That was a quote. Yeah. So there's something useful. And this is something that, you know, talking about queer spaces where like going to a bar helps you drop, you know, there's similarities in comping that are, this is one of the ones that's different. Like, yeah, I don't think, I know being drunk, I guess, could be conducive for having deep conversations, but probably ones that you don't remember are not actually interesting or meaningful, yeah, that you just, yeah, believe are. But this one feels distinctly different from other queer spaces that you can do.
How about getting drunk while camping? That, like, just layer these things on top of each other.
There were, know, a lot of things that were like, it's great, you know, because you won't, you know, it's different than bars because you won't, like, you know, there aren't people getting drunk around. And I was like, really? Are you sure? Last quote is, quote, one of the biggest struggles with the outdoor industry is just because it's not exclusive doesn't mean that it's necessarily inclusive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So some of the issues are it's expensive. You need gear. You have to pay usually fees and for, you know, access to the campgrounds or parking, or what have you. You have to have transportation, which generally means a car to get to a place where you can go. There's accessibility issues, which I would imagine, I can't imagine many campgrounds or hiking be inclusive for people that need a wheelchair like
yeah,
that. And safety. And what Ken just said is, quote, if you are a queer person and you are perceived as queer and you're on the trail and you're alone, unfortunately, you're in danger. That is something that can be very scary.
Mm. Yeah, for sure.
Which I don't know how. I just imagine if there's the nice thing of I'm just with my friends and I'm safer and I'm not, you know, but if you run into someone, I just feel like they could kill you easier than in a city.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true. That just feels like there's easy burial grounds right there and not burial grounds. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
For sure feels true. I'm way more afraid of like the other people on a trail than I am of like the animals. Like,
huh? I don't know who I'm more afraid of. I guess I'm just afraid
of all of it all the time.
Just afraid. I'm just constantly afraid. In my head, it's just, that's what's happening all the time.
Oh.
I have a therapist. Yeah. It's not helping. what do you want to talk about? Oh, okay. Wait. So now I need to... I went out of order, but now should I talk about gay campgrounds?
Sure.
Okay. This was requested by Bob on Spaces. So, hey, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
This is your segment.
Bibbidi Bob.
Hope you like it, because it's... it'll be... Okay. I looked up a bunch of gay campgrounds and I tried to find usually there are like articles about whatever topics on, you know, like Vice or whatever, like why would people do this or what's the trend, or like there was all I could find were a bunch of like, here are the top ones for LGBT people. So I just looked at a bunch of those and tried to find some of the themes and descriptions of the best gay campgrounds. So here are some of the themes that I found. So it is more than I expected. It's very focused on the outdoors, hiking, nature part, which like your first reaction may be like, no fucking shit. But like, I was thinking, is it all about this is going to be a party or we're so gay and it's different and it's, you know, we have all this other shit or we're going to get fucking hammered and, you know, whatever. There was most of the promotion or talking about these places were actually about the hiking and the nature included in it.
Sure. Yeah.
There's a little bit of me that makes me think that they were downplaying some of the other shit that we do, but like,
Do you mean the drugs and the dancing?
I didn't think about drugs, but I guess that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Drugs, dancing, drinking, other things. So I don't know.
Banging.
Yeah. Banging.
Being naked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, so clothing optional was something that came up pretty consistently, as a lot of them were clothing optional. A lot of them were 21 plus. There are some that are specifically kid friendly, so that was out there too, but more often I saw 21 plus grounds. A lot of them required memberships, so this is one of the ones that I went to is like you had to have, like people, there were a lot of them were just you had to have a membership and an annual whatever to go. You just couldn't even, or there was very little just individual weekend kind of availability.
Yeah, but lots of them also you could get a day pass or a weekend pass. You didn't have to have an annual membership. I've seen that, but, which is like Steamworks.
Yeah, just like Steamworks. A lot of them, allies are welcome. So just because it's an LGBTQ campground doesn't mean it's just them. But, you know, of course, ask or check on the website. And some also have like friends and family weekends. So that kind of help makes it clear like, hey, just come during this time, not normally. That's, I think, your hint. Mm-hmm. There were also some that indicated they were men only. Some indicated that they were women only or women focused. So there's... more so it seemed, I was surprised when I saw the men only, cause I just assumed the default, I don't know if this is me being shitty or mean, just knowing what the assumptions are. I don't know. I just assumed a lot of them were men focused and they would, so when they explicitly mentioned women only, it was like, we want to make sure that there's a space for, you know, women or women focused, areas. RV hookups were very common, but
That could be either like connecting your RV to electricity and sewer and all of that, or it could be fucking in an RV. It's an RV hookup.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe you should fuck in an RV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Better than in your sleeping bag.
This campers are rockin', don't come a knockin'.
There were mentions, even though I mentioned it first, it was not exclusively focused on this. There were a lot more mentions than I would presume regular comp grounds. Talking about parties and nightlife. They had like special event weekends. A lot of them had heated pools, and I think that goes along with the naked retreat kind of thing that like you're assumed that if it's clothing optional that you'll also have like a heated pool. I just think those go hand in hand.
It's not camping.
You can have a heated outdoor pool. There's like those occur in nature, like springs, like warm springs or whatever. Hot springs.
Okay.
That is.
Okay. All right.
Speaking of not actually comping, I just wrote down anytime I saw an amenity mentioned once, I just wrote it down. So these are all just like random things that I saw. Dance floors, stores, shows, karaoke. A place had a cigar bar. One place had an ASL interpreter there most of the time.
Wow.
So I thought there are probably far more amenities than the average, like, non-gay place.
Yeah. I know that TRC, which is a gay campground just north of town here, that they have a foam party.
Yeah. I heard... Okay, this is the one gay campground that I went to it a long time ago with an old boyfriend, and it was very like, it was someone brought us with them because they had an annual pass, which was very cool. The cool part about it was like they had a space that was their annual, they reserved an area, and there were like all these different areas, not just a person's individual, but like there are different sections of different, you know, like groups, like, oh, it's in this section or whatever. And it had definitely had amenities out the wazoo. There was a generator there, so there were actually like lights. It was beautiful, and no straight campground has ever had that many lights that I've ever seen before. And because there was a generator, my boyfriend at the time could like cook actual like real good food on a like stove or whatever.
Oh, this was Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
And the rumor was there was a foam party that at one point in its past, someone had diarrhea while I was there, and that mixed with the foam to create a...
No.
Yeah.
No.
I've not gone...
I don't think that's how diarrhea works, but you never know.
Gay diarrhea is a little different.
It's extra frothy.
For his pleasure. I did look up some of the TRC events that they had posted on their recent like Facebook posts.
Well, on the Patreon segment, we're going to talk to somebody from TRC that helps run this shit.
Oh, yeah. So we can ask them, we can ask them about some of their events. Like the events were like Labor Day weekend, they had an underwear party. They had recently XXXmas. There was a Black Forest Black and Blue Ball. Yeah. So we'll ask TRC more about their events and their gay campground on Patreon.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, we will.
We should have gone.
Yeah, that'd be fun. We can still go.
Mm.
Yeah. If we're not doing it to generate content, why would we do it, Mike?
Exactly. Well, I want to talk to you about, you mentioned this in your segment just now. I want to talk to you about one of the male only campgrounds.
Okay.
And a big old controversy about it. So we actually talked about this on the show. I'm almost certain. I would have to like go back through the notes, and that's way more work than I wanted to do. But yeah, I wanted to talk to you about Camp Boomerang, which opened in 2021.
Unlike my boyfriends will come back to me.
Right. Yeah. So they weren't even open yet. It was February of 2021, and they had announced that they were going to be opening in the spring. And they created a private Facebook group for themselves and started amassing campers. It was going to be in Orleans, Michigan, which is about 50 miles northwest of the state capital of Lansing. Anyway, Brian Quinn, who is one of the guys that was trying to get this camp started, said, quote, "Camp Boomerang is a private, membership-only RV park and campground that allows only guys. A guy, in terms of this discussion, is defined as a person with a penis."
Oh, yeah.
"Who presents himself as male and has a state-issued ID that says male. We understand this statement unfortunately may not make everyone happy, but feel it needs to be clarified. It is our hope that everyone who visits Camp Boomerang enjoys a comfortable, safe, non-confrontational environment going forward. Being a private membership-only entity allows us the ability to build a like-minded atmosphere. We don't mean for this to come off as a like-it-or-leave-it attitude, but we feel it's necessary for everyone to know exactly what our vision is for Camp Boomerang." So, yeah, that's the right face. And the whole internet made that face and really, really jumped in this guy's shit. So there's a blog called Have a Gay Day, not Have a Nice Gay, that posted screenshots of these posts from this private Facebook group. And then the word got out and shit got crazy. So then he doubled down when confronted with all of this. You know, you're being anti-trans, you asshole, said, quote, "Let's be real here. If we let women that act like men in and they go
before it's hinted and now it's stated, like,
and they go naked at the pool, that's when it's obvious that there's no penis. Sorry to put it bluntly, but if you don't like the rules, quietly leave." Lots of people did. There were people who canceled their memberships, and they had their head DJ quit.
Oh,
as a result of this controversy, like that, you know, you're being trans exclusionary for no good reason. Then there was another campground called Camp Bit, and they made it really clear that, like, we want trans men to come, please. We're not assholes. We're very trans welcoming. So then shortly thereafter, they were removed from a association of gay campgrounds.
Oh,
so
that's cool. Like, forget, like, hey, you're transphobic and we don't let like that, or we don't let that in our group.
That's correct.
That's great. Yeah.
So there was a, the Gay Camp Association, and, removed them, that revoked their membership or whatever. And so then apparently this is the part of the story that I can't quite get connected here. I couldn't find, it being explicitly stated, but they then backpedaled and decided to still keep it all male and still require a government issued ID that says male, but there would be no penis checks.
Which, that's still transphobic. Like, being slightly less transphobic, I guess better, but not yeah.
Yeah, their website, I looked at their website earlier today, and I can't find the link for it. Here it is. Yeah, I looked at their rules now, and their rules say nothing about trans people or penises. It just says Camp Boomerang RV Park and Campground is an adult, all-male, private membership campground for men 21 and over. And there's actually, at least the current incarnation of the rules, don't say anything about, like, we're going to check IDs, we're going to check, like, your gender indicator on your ID, and there's no penis checks. I also couldn't find on here whether that dude is still involved or not, that Brian Quinn. So, I, with a little more time, I'm sure I could figure it out, because everything is forever on the internet, but it at least looks like they've sort of changed their tone. But what I wanted to talk about is the idea that, like, if you want to start a campground that, like, has penis checks, I guess go for it. It's a free country, but also you will suffer the consequences of making that decision and being a dickbag.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But there's something about, like, I feel like our society is sort of changing in a way that, like, cancel culture really is a thing, and I don't want to be all, like, right wing about it, but, like,
cancel culture isn't a thing, at least not the way the right describes it.
That's true. Absolutely true. And
they describe cancel culture as people try to hold other people to standards, and they have every right to say, I don't want to do this thing because you're shitty. And then they think that that's an attack on them, that someone disagrees or is calling them out on shitty things they do. And more often than not, things that the right are like, it's being canceled, continue to exist, so it's they don't actually get canceled, and they also call for things to be canceled themselves, so it's only cancel culture when the things they like get attacked by people on
shift.
So that's the idea that cancel culture exists without any other definition or explanation, I think, is just wrong.
Yeah, okay. Well, the thing is, if you want to have a penises only campground, and nobody wants to go to your shitty campground, but go for it, right? Like,
But that's actually an argument that you've disagreed with about other things, like a bakery saying, you know, we will not serve gay customers. You've in the past said you disagree with that and don't think that should exist. So I'm wondering if there's a difference.
That's a great question. Great pushback. Yeah. I guess camping is a service.
What is also particularly shitty about the way he described it at the beginning is, yes, absolutely transphobic. But what he said is, like, we understand some people may not be happy about this. And that implies that transphobic policies just make some people unhappy.
Sure.
Whereas the truth is, transphobic policies, especially when they come from within the LGBT community, or I don't know, maybe it's equal, but like, those contribute to violence and death of trans people and hate and belief that trans men aren't men. So like it's common, like, trying to straw man arguments against it or trying to belittle arguments. Like, it is not just, oh, that makes me unhappy.
Yeah.
There is way more. And to say that it's just about that is almost dangerous because it doesn't highlight the importance of why transphobic policies, the damage they do.
Yeah, sure. I agree with that.
Yeah.
This then butts up against, like, the single gender status of it at all. Trans inclusionary or exclusionary notwithstanding, like, having a single gender space, like, is there a justifiable reason for that? Like, I struggle with this, like, with my fraternity, same stuff, right? Like, we should be able to articulate why the single gender status of something is important or valuable or morally defensible.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have the same thing that I don't have a conclusive or like a easily summarizable position. And I think of women only spaces. Seems like now it's a good benchmark to say, like, you can find the TERFs by saying when it's women only, you'll find the, like, someone defining or actively excluding trans people. So I tend to, and hopefully see more of, women's spaces including non-binary people or like, and I think there is value in that. There's value in, there are women's issues that are useful to discuss. Or even any kind of, like, why do we have LGBT spaces? Why do we have why do we have black spaces? Because there's a value in coming together with your community, not worrying about outsiders, not getting rid of all the potential for microaggressions, and talking about being with your community and discussing your issues. I also think a lot of people, if you make clear what this is about, and, you know, I don't know the language, you can figure out how to do that, like a women's space or women preferred or women, not women, like, or femme, women and femme people, or I don't know, you can, whatever the language is, this is for men and masculine people, or God, I can't do the language right, but like, this is for us too. We don't often have bonds and relationships, and having emotions is considered shitty. So let's talk about these kinds of issues and help us build some of those, because that's a good thing and a useful thing. And I just often think people will, like, self-select. Like, I don't know that you need explicit definitions about exactly which men and which non-binary people. Like, if you make clear what the goal of this is, people will figure out if it's right for them and then attend if it's right for them. I just don't think you need to define their genitals in the description of what it is, because I think people will figure that out. And like, similar thing on, like, Grindr or Scruff, like, if someone joins and they're getting no interest or likes, they might figure out this isn't the place for me. Mm. Like, this is not where I'm going to find hookups. And so, like, I don't think you need to say, like, you have to be a man or you have to have a penis to get on Grindr. I think people just figure it out and self-select.
Yeah. 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 It's interesting. I don't know.
What do you think?
I think I agree with the self-selection thing, but then that also is sort of dangerous too, right? Because, like, you can use intimidation factors and like other way, like, this all white golf course is just happens to be all white. It's not because we're excluding anyone. We don't have a policy against black people, but do you?
Yeah.
Right. And,
but that's a good example, because, like, it's not about, you don't have a whites only policy. It's what you do and say and how you act that helps explain what you are. And so even if you don't have a, this is for white people only, people know what it is and about, and the beliefs and all that stuff. So I don't know. I think that's actually similar. Like, just because you don't say I am transphobic, only men with penises here, what you do and say and act and how you present yourself, people will know and figure it out if it's right for them.
I also think that, like, there are a lot of penises that I'm not into. Like, I don't know, like, why saying that, like, everybody has a penis is going to, like, somehow make it so that you don't have to live with the fear of seeing something you don't want to see. Because, like, there's just, you're into what you're into and you're not into what you're not. And, like, get over yourself.
Yeah.
Anyway.
There's no, I feel like TERF, radical feminist. Like, what's like a dude TERF?
Turds? Trans exclusionary radical dudists.
I think you could go dudes, maybe not dudist. Trans exclusionary radical dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Turds. I love that.
Great.
That's beautiful.
Do you have another segment?
Okay. One last one.
That's Camp Boomerang.
I want to talk about a different campground, the Sawmill Camp Camping Resort.
Okay.
Their website made it look, it was filled with men drinking and playing volleyball, and none of them would have replied to me on Scruff. And they have they're at this campground, there is a lake called Ricky Lake.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I was like,
that's hilarious. That has to be intentional.
There,
right?
And there has to be something there, and I looked it up and I couldn't find it.
She's in a lot of John Waters movies.
Yeah.
But... yeah, was it named Ricky? Like, there's no way that is a campy gay choice that has been made.
Yeah, that's the segment.
Okay. while I'm thinking about it, this episode is going to post on the 10th for Patreon and on the 11th for everyone else. So it may be too late to do anything about it. But our Discord group, there are a bunch of gayish listeners that are going to be at the Woods Campground in eastern Pennsylvania from August 12th through 15th. So this weekend, there's a few gayish listeners that are all going to be there together. So if you want to pack up your shit and go to the woods for the weekend, capital T, capital W, the woods. Like they said, open invite, and you can coordinate on the Discord with them. We have a gayish campers channel, and it's all in there. So we're not going to be going, but like have fun. I hope you listen to this episode together and say hurrah. I don't know.
Live listen party. We'll email you all a schedule of events that we've decided and no one else has agreed on.
Right.
This episode sponsored by our Discord. We should do. There are a bunch of like. There's a D&D group that. Is like the gayish D&D group. There's like a bunch of the groups and stuff that have formed that we're various levels of not involved or completely involved. And we should like figure out what all those are. And like, I don't know, do something about that.
Yeah. World of Warcraft and the Minecraft server and like these campers, there are a bunch of like car enthusiasts, which that's like the straightest of all time.
Oh,
but yeah. Anyway,
I talked about me going to a gay campground. Have you?
I have not been.
Oh, okay.
I totally would.
Oh.
I have similar fears that I do to going to Rain City Jacks, which, by the way, is closed because of monkeypox until October. That I just don't want to. I don't. What I want is to go and be sexual, but I don't want to do that if I'm going to run into people I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that hang up is. I need to unpack it with my therapist or whatever. But like, I just am so afraid of like. Having my dick out and running into somebody that I know that going and having the experience that I like would fantasize about doesn't feel actually possible because of that anxiety.
Yeah.
That being said, going and camping in a queer space could be just be fun.
Yeah.
Like, I can keep my dick to myself the whole time and
can't keep my dick to myself.
But no, I've never been but very much have thought about it. Hmm.
I went with a boyfriend and two other couples, and so it very much was not a sexual experience. And when I woke up to one of the couples having very loud sex, and there was a little bit that I was like, ugh, like that's weird, but then it was like, this might be one of those things, like this is the space to have loud gay sex because this is a gay campground and that's what you do here. I don't know. It's interesting, like it seems like you can go and it can be very sexual and gay and naked and whatever, or you could also, I don't know, go and do regular comping. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did we do it?
Yeah.
We talked about camping.
Yeah.
A whole bunch.
Yeah, I think so. Did I? No, I think that was fun. I think people who like go camping are very entitled and full of themselves, and I think they're very like, oh, it's so cool that I walk around in the outside, and it's like, you're not that cool, but I don't know.
That's how I feel about Taylor Swift.
What? Okay.
Should we take a break?
Let's take a break.
Pitch a tent.
Ew. I don't want that. It's a weird thing to drop at the very end of that, but I don't know.
This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
So does that mean you're ready? Do you have your gayest and straightest?
I have my gayest and straightest.
Okay. So are we back?
We're back.
We're back.
We're going to do our gayest and straightest.
We're going to do our gayest and straightest. But first, our website is gayishpodcast.com.
We are on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and Discord at Gayish Podcast.
Our hotline, you can send us text messages or leave us voicemails, is 5855-GAYISH. That's 585-542-9474. Standard rates apply.
Our email is gayishpodcast@gmail.com.
And our physical mailing address is Post Office Box 19882, Seattle, Washington, 98109. We got a thing. Somebody sent us, I'm pretty sure this is a book.
Wait, should we be recording?
Oh, I forgot about that.
For those who don't know, we have a video option in our various levels of benefits, and you get not only video versions of the Patreon segments, but also anytime we open something, we open it on a video, because you all said you all like unboxings.
Keep your hands off my box.
Keep your hands in my box. Boy, there's a lot of tape on that shit.
It says it's from Fife and Stubbs in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh.
But it is a copy of Sodomy and the Pirate Tradition, English Sea Rovers in the 17th Century Caribbean by B.R. Berg.
Did we talk about that, or is that just related to our Pirates episode?
I think it's just related to our Pirates episode, maybe. I don't know.
That's a great idea because, there's something in the book.
There was something in the book. Thank God I did that. There's a letter in the book. It says, for gayish, and it's like 3 pages long. Dear Mike and Kyle, I heard you say you needed this book on your recent Pirates podcast. It's been on my...
Thank you for knowing us well enough to know that you have to remind us of what we did that made you do this. Okay, great.
It's been on my shelf for a few years without my finding time to actually read it, so please enjoy this offering of Sodomy and Pirates. A note on the topic of how did no one spot that they were women from a gay trans man, don't underestimate the power of gendered clothing. Even now, when anyone can pretty much wear whatever they want, almost AFAB people need to do to be read as a teenage boy is cut their hair, put on boring straight man clothes, and walk into a male space like a sports stadium or hardware store. Imagine
how we're getting like correction or a feedback within this opening. Wow, there's a lot. Okay.
Anyway, I love your podcast. Keep it up, please. Even our toddler daughter dances when the theme song comes on. I guess I shouldn't let her listen to it when she starts talking that I think about it.
I just got uncomfortable.
Yours in queer history geekdom, Hamish Fife.
Thank you for that. That's very kind of you. And thank you as well for reminding us. That's, I think, if there's one piece of advice I could give to people who either send us things or write in or whatever, you may have to remind us, like, if you're trying to explain or comment on something we said, remind us of what we said, because we don't remember.
Yeah.
Do you want to do our gayest and straightest?
Let's do our gayest and straightest. I'm happy to go first. Great. The gayest thing about me this week was last night I went roller skating. And
how was it?
Every gay ass song that came on, wiggling my butt and being on roller skates.
Nice.
And plus it was a mixed orientation crowd, but it was a gay friend's birthday and there were lots of gays present, some of whom wore crop tops because the theme was 1982.
Oh.
And one boy in particular, damn. Okay. Anyway.
you'd crop his top?
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There's something better that I could have done there, but I don't know what it is.
Roller skates to Jesus is what needs to happen. Okay, the straightest thing about me this week is the not being on Grindr I did at the Edinburgh Airport. So
the
Edinburgh Airport, I joined their free public Wi-Fi while I was waiting for my plane, and they clearly had blocked Grindr. So I was logged in.
What?
Yeah, I could go to Facebook, I could like Google things or whatever, but like none of my messages would send or receive. And then when I would disconnect from Wi-Fi, they would. So anyway, yeah, the Edinburgh free public Wi-Fi at the airport like blocks fucking Grindr.
I should call myself airport Wi-Fi because I am free for the public.
Great.
Sorry, so you just had to sit non-sexually at the airport?
I mean, I could have turned off the Wi-Fi and used my like 5G or whatever, but yeah. I just didn't. Instead looked at, I don't know, what I was going to do with my time during my layover in Heathrow.
Yeah, use my 5G, baby. Yeah. My gayest is figuring out that the Geordi song I've been listening to, a ton of Geordi, the song Is It Love is the perfect speed for gay walking.
Oh. So fast.
Fast, yes.
Is that the one you sent me?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, no. That's a different song. But I sent you my favorite one that I'm now over because I'm into other songs that he has. So, yeah. Great. My straightest is I've missed 2 haircut appointments for various reasons, and I'm getting my haircut finally this week, but it is missing haircuts and not having my haircut for a while is the most... I mean, I don't think that's straight. I just think that's not gay. You know, it's like anti-gay to not get haircuts.
Yeah.
And I posted on Twitter and got a lot of great replies, but one that was DM'd to us that won, so I need to use this one. This has been a pegging-heavy episode, considering it's not about pegging, but that's part of it. I won't say their name because they DM'd. And so I, a raging lesbian, pegged an aggressively straight man. The overcompensation sex after was insane. Ask not what you can do for toxic masculinity, but what toxic masculinity can do for you.
Alrighty.
Is that it?
I guess that's it.
Okay. Thank you to all the gays. I don't know.
Thank you to Taylor Swift.
You know, thank you to her jet that's apparently shepherding so many people around America. Thanks to North America for being just U.S. and Canada. I never knew it was so easy. I thought there was more to it. Thank you also to our Super Gap Bridgers. This is anyone who sponsors us. Sure. Sponsors us at $50 a month or more for over a year. John Crowley, Stephen Porch, Joe Social, Harry... Already gave up. Josh Copeland, Forrest Nail, Patrick Martin, Anonymous, James Barrow, Steve Douglas, Explosive Lasagna, Just Jamie, Kevin Henderson, Tips McStumbles, Donald Linsky, Thomas B, Dusty Sands, A. Coleman, Chris Cacciatorian, and Jerome York.
That's it. This has been Gayish from the Chris Cacciatorian Studios. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz. Until next week, be butch, be fabulous, be you. See you comping.
See you comping. Have fun, Discord people. I hope you fuck. Not necessarily each other.
Doing a remake of Selena Gomez's Hands and doing I Can't Keep My Dick to Myself both sounds very problematic and hilarious.
Gayish.